Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round.
Hey! Good morning, Pensacola. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay, right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text. 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. And remember, on our website, newsradio923.com, you can always check out the podcasts of this show and particularly special interviews and things like that. So be sure to check that out. Spring hasn't even unpacked its bags yet. I mean, some parts of this country were having blizzards 2 days ago, right, with all the airport shutdowns and things like that. So that's not even spring. That's winter, right? So some parts of the country dealing with winter. Other parts of the country getting a preview of summer. A massive heat dome is setting up across the Southwest. It's expected to roast around 70 million people with temperatures that feel more like June or July than March. Cities across California, Nevada, Arizona, and Texas could see highs in the 90s. And some cities may even see triple digits. Yeah. Meteorologists say it's unusually early, and there's probably going to be some records, some high temperatures broken, some records broken. So, yeah, this is a – if you're hoping for a mild spring, it if you're in the Southwest, not so much. So I looked at our 10-day forecast to see, like, if those – high temperatures in Arizona and Texas will be headed over here. And I guess whatever this heat dome is must be lifting before it gets to us, because we do get to like the mid 70s next week, but that's kind of normal for us. Not 90s, you know, if 90s and 100 and stuff like that. But yeah, apparently some place is going to get 100 degrees. Phoenix could see multiple days above 100 degrees.
Now, my son
that
called
usually
me.
Happen until late spring, early summer.
That's right. My son called me yesterday. He's in Phoenix right now going to school.
Oh, that's right.
And he said it was 101, and they're saying it's supposed to be 107 by Friday, all 100s. It's the earliest they've ever had 100-degree temperatures. The earliest before was like May. So he was like, it is hot.
That is bizarre when you consider 2 days ago, a quarter of the country was dealing with blizzards.
Exactly.
That's so, like, there's one part of this country that's got 100-degree temperatures and another part of the country that's got negative 4 degrees. That's, it's not that big of a country.
Right.
Wow. See here, Las Vegas may also approach 100 degrees, and it'll be, if it does, it'll be the first time it's ever hit 100 degrees before May 1st in recorded history. I mean, it might happen before we recorded history, but that's it. So, yeah, the unusual warmth could accelerate mountain snowmelt in the Sierra Nevadas, which could cause flooding in California. So now they're having to watch for that kind of stuff. So, oh, boy. I was actually telling people, looking at things, I felt like this is going to be a hot summer this year. I don't know why. And I also feel like we're going to have a lot of hurricanes. I know, knock on wood. I shouldn't have said that one out loud. But it is what it is. One of the big things, you know, we're talking about the blizzards last week or earlier this week, and we had all the cancellations of flights, massive TSA lines. Well, a lot of this is because of the funding lapse. 50,000 TSA officers have been working without pay for more than a month. 300 officers have reportedly quit so far during the shutdown, and there's a 10% basically absentee rate, 10% calling in sick or whatever, or just not showing up. Some airports have a higher number than others. We've checked in with Pensacola International Airport. So far, we're doing pretty good. But now, according to a new report, the from acting deputy TSA administrator, he says if the staffing shortages get worse, too much worse, they may have to shut down smaller airports. Oh, okay. It says large airports might be able to cope by closing some of the security lanes or checkpoints, but smaller airports are vulnerable because they may only have one security checkpoint, so they won't have enough officers. If the officers quit in that airport, they don't have other officers to be able to draw from. So I was thinking about that, like in our area, like does that mean like Pensacola International Airport would be at risk, or are we talking more like Destin and Gulf Shores airports? My guess is more like Gulf Shores Airport, Destin Airport, not Mobile or Pensacola, because we do have a couple of lanes at least. So even if we had to reduce it down to one lane, it would be even slower to get through, but it still wouldn't be that bad, you know? So I think we'd be okay. Oh, we got to get traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Through that construction zone, experiencing about a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Florida lawmakers wrapped up the legislative session last week, so we've been covering a lot of different things that happened and didn't happen. Well, one of the areas that a lot of things happened was as it pertained to transportation policies. So among the bills that crossed the finish line, new rules for e-bikes. That's right. One of the biggest transportation measures creates new regulations for electric bicycles and similar, they call them micro-mobility devices. It seems very weird. Micro-mobility devices. I mean, I get what they're... I know what they're meaning. It just sounds very... I don't know why I'm picturing like mini skateboards or something. Like mini-mobility devices. So the new rules are that riders must slow down to 10 miles per hour when you're within 50 feet of a pedestrian, and you must yield to the pedestrian, which, if you're like me, I'm kind of like, that last part is like a duh. But there's so many stories I've heard from people just here in Pensacola, not even from like Tampa and Orlando and other places, just from here in Pensacola. I've heard so many stories of pedestrians, friends of mine, who've gotten hit by e-bikes. And then they're like, what are you doing? They're like, I was driving here. It's like, I'm the pedestrian. I have the right of way. And they're like, whatever. And then they take off. And so now it's going to be a law. You have to slow down to 10 miles an hour when you're within 50 feet of a pedestrian, and you have to yield to them. And I've heard from other friends, too, who have had incidences, not necessarily with pedestrians, but like e-bikes just cutting them off in their car. And they're like, dude, I could have hit you. Like, if I didn't hit my brakes, I would have hit you. You can't just pull out in front of me. So, yeah, that's definitely an issue. So it'll now be a law. The question is will citizens know the law? That's the other question. Some of the other transportation-related bills, so we just talk about micro-mobility devices. Well, there's a new task force that's going to be implemented. The law establishes a state task force to study e-bike safety and recommend future regulations. Also, law enforcement agencies will now be required to track and report crashes involving micro-mobility devices to the state. That way the state can assess all this information, put together some additional safety risks. Another bill. Several highways and roadways across the state will receive new honorary designations honoring military members or community figures. Another bill focuses on commercial service airports, dealing with regulatory and operational rules affecting how airports are managed statewide. Then there's another bill that strengthens penalties for drivers who repeatedly break the law. People classified as habitual traffic offenders could face third-degree felony charges if they continue to drive illegally. So in other words, you get your license suspended, you keep driving, and you're a habitual offender, then you could get a third-degree felony. Got a text in here. Department of Homeland Security has a multi-billion-dollar discretionary fund. They can pay who they want, but they choose who they pay. Okay. So, in other words, they're choosing to not pay the TSA officers. Is that what you're trying to say? And they could. Like, they could be paying the TSA officers, but instead, the fat cats are keeping their money and they're not trickling it down. That's probably definitely what's going on. Another transportation bill here, giving you a heads up. Lawmakers approved legislation allowing the state to help fund vertiports. These are the landing sites for the electric vertical takeoff aircraft, the air taxi thing. So the state will help fund building this infrastructure for air taxis. Broader transportation bill updates various rules involving vehicle registration, dealer licensing, communications infrastructure, and things like that. It's Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I've got one more story pertaining to traffic and everything. That's red light cameras. A Broward County judge dismissed a red light camera ticket. He ruled that part of Florida's automated traffic enforcement law violates due process. The decision says that the law improperly assumes the registered owner of the car was the driver, and the owner has to prove if somebody else committed the violation. The judge argues that shifts the burden onto the driver when reality is the burden should be on to the state to prove who the driver is.
Ew.
So, typical red light camera violation carries about a $158 fine here in the state of Florida. And since the program began in 2010, drivers across Florida have paid more than $1.2 billion in automated ticket fines. But this ruling, if it goes to the appeals and eventually to the Florida Supreme Court, there's a pretty good chance it'll get struck down, actually, and red light cameras will go away. Pretty good chance of it. Pensacola Morning News with Bobby Rossi, or with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for him. Oh, yes, so it got a text follow-up here. Yes, DHS Coast Guard got paid. TSA agents did not get paid. When we come back here, we're getting an update from the newsroom, from Steve Taylor over the newsroom. Plus, I have a very interesting poll as it pertains to Iran, something I never really even thought about. But both Republicans and Democrats have weighed in on this poll, and I'll share the results for you coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Have you ever made a spiritual bucket list? In Proverbs 30, a man named Agur makes his spiritual bucket list. He asks God to grant him two things before he dies, and his prayer is the only prayer listed in the entire book of Proverbs. The first thing Agur asks for is that God would remove from him anything that would hinder his walk with God, such as vanity or lying. Secondly, Agur requests that God would not give him anything that would hinder his relationship with God, such as poverty or even wealth. More than anything, Agur just wants to be pleasing to God. So what's on your spiritual bucket list? Let your list be all about pleasing God.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Things that are cheap for a reason. Have you ever heard that? Well, there's no domain where that's more true than when it comes to beds and mattresses. Listen, if you want something super cheap, guess what? You're going to probably have to replace it real fast, and it's going to make you feel crummy to sleep on it. At the Sleep Center, they certainly sell affordable mattresses and beds, but what they want you to have is the experience of a great night's sleep. You know, where you wake up in the morning feeling rested and refreshed and eager to go for the day. And that has to do with more or less pressure relief. That has to do with more or less support. The kind of mattress that really works, not just in general, but for your particular body style and needs. You know, some people like the all foam mattress where they have that NASA foam. It's amazing. I like the hybrid. I like the coils and the foam because I don't like to be like held in place by the mattress. Some people love it. For me, I like to turn around in the night a little bit. So I need a different kind of mattress. And that's the point. When you go to the Sleep Center, they'll talk with you, they'll figure it out, and they'll help you find the right mattress for you. Or, if you want to be totally left alone to browse at your own heart's content, no problem. They are the original here in Pensacola. They've been here 30 years, often imitated, never duplicated. The Sleep Center. If you've ever been hurt by a mattress or hurt by a mattress store, go to the Sleep Center, just east of Davis on the north side of Creighton.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income,
financial security is about more than investments. Robert's Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Robert's Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Taking a quick look at your traffic right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 9-minute delay through that construction zone, and also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
VapoCool. Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast.
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporized sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable. It's 42 degrees here in the Pensacola area. Going to be a high of about 58 today, somewhere right around there at least. And it'll be mostly cloudy throughout the day today. Tomorrow, warm up to the 60s, and then we'll be in the 70s by this weekend. There is a poll that I hadn't really even paid that much attention to. Americans question the motives behind Trump's Iranian war. Oh, really? Yeah. According to the poll, 52% of voters think that the war was used as a distraction from the Epstein files. 40% disagree. The rest are not sure. Now, yes, granted, this poll, even though it's 52% of likely voters saying that they believe it was tied to the Epstein file, when it came to separating from Democrat to Republican, Democrats, 81% say that it was a distraction, compared to only 14% saying it wasn't. Independents were still skeptical, 52% saying they think the war may have been a distraction for the Epstein controversy. But even among Republicans, roughly a quarter, 25% of voters think that the war could have been launched partly to shift away tension from that scandal. So, interesting. Let's go over to Steve Taylor in the newsroom. Steve, what you got going on?
Well, Iran is retaliating after Israel killed its top security official. Israel yesterday said they killed Ali Larijani, one of Iran's most powerful figures, in an overnight raid. Iran is now retaliating by launching missiles at Israel. It also launched several explosive drones at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. No U.S. casualties have been reported. Two people are facing some shoplifting charges for stealing thousands of dollars worth of items from the Westfield Garden Plaza Mall in New Jersey. They did it by throwing everything into a bag lined with tinfoil to beat the anti-detection technology, but the police found them anyway. And that's what's happening.
Thank you very much. Joe Kent, the director of the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center, resigned yesterday in protesting the war with Iran, and it posed no imminent threat. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. Don't ever break.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Third top Iranian official eliminated in the past few days.
Ismail Khatib was Iran's intelligence minister, and he was taken out overnight in a precision strike, we are told, by a senior Israeli official. Khatib was also the man responsible in part for shutting down the internet in Iran and even spying on regime officials.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv. Air travel dicing the stage with funding fight over DHS slamming TSA officers who are not being paid.
We're still reeling from the shutdown that we had in the fall. So people were trying to get back on their feet. So to have this occur, it's like a double-edged sword.
Atlanta TSA officer George Bjork earlier on Fox and Friends. Confirmation hearing in the upper chamber for Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who is the president's choice to run DHS. It begins at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning at 7:31 right now, 38 degrees and partly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor, in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The head of Escambia County Utilities Authority is stepping down. Executive Director Bruce Woody announced his retirement after 6 years leading the agency. His last day in the office is expected to be about May 26th, the date of the next ECUA board meeting, with the official retirement effective on or about July the 6th. Woody told the board he's willing to help find his replacement. The search is already underway, with a job posted at a salary range of $195,000 to just over $256,000 a year. The deadline for applications is April 15th. The Warrington Emergency Aid Center bought and donated essential groceries to help local families with their canned foods, pasta, pancake mix, syrup, and also canned milk. But a promised $2,500 reimbursement from Escambia County never came through. The president, Janet Plume, from the Warrington Emergency Aid Center.
We were told that we needed to buy the groceries ahead of time, which we did, and submit the receipts, which we did. We bought mostly canned foods. We bought canned fruit. We bought a lot of pasta. We bought a pancake mix and syrup and canned milk.
Commissioner Mike Kohler says he verbally approved the funds from his discretionary account back in October, and we submitted the receipts as required. But on Monday, Escambia County Clerk Pam Childers rejected the request, citing ongoing concerns about the constitutionality of such payments to private organizations.
Taxpayers do not pay taxes for the county to make donations to private organizations of their choosing to enhance the mission of that organization.
The pantry, which feeds hundreds monthly, must now seek extra donations from churches and the community to cover the shortfall. Here's some big news for the local economy. An $11.6 million road and rail rehabilitation project at the Port of Pensacola is now underway. Funded mostly by grants with a small contribution from port reserves, the work began last week to repair infrastructure damaged by Hurricane Sally. Mayor D.C. Reeves says it's great for job creators while creating short-term construction jobs.
The road and rail work for the port started last week. For the road and rail rehabilitation project, and that's maintenance for the port's infrastructure that dates back to damage caused by Hurricane Sally. So glad to get that project up and going for all of the job creators out there.
Port Director Lance Scott highlights the improved cargo flow and safety, and the completion of that is set for March 2027. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have partly cloudy skies today with temperatures warming up near 59 degrees for the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44 degrees. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 68. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Heading into Friday, warming up with sunshine, high near 76 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But again, if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, through that construction zone, expect about a 7-minute delay. Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, approaching I-10, expect about a 5-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Right now, warming up a bit, 38 in Pensacola, 39 in Gulf Breeze right now, and 35 degrees in Milton at 7:35. Next news is at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the period of purple crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
As a business owner, you want less to worry about. You want proven, simple concepts and tools that just do what they said they will do, and proof that those tools work. Well, that's ADX Digital. Simple digital concepts that move the needle for your business. Reporting that proves the results and market-leading customer service. And that's what we do.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed, staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
At 58 today, and tomorrow warm up to be in the mid 60s. Then we'll be in 70 on Friday and be in the mid 70s over the weekend. So it'd be pretty nice. If you'd like to weigh in on the show, give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay right here on Pensacola Morning News. The U.S. Senate has attempted to block or rein in Trump's Iranian war. The Senate, it did not pass the Senate, though. Lawmakers voted 53-47 to block a resolution that would have limited President Trump's authority to continue military action in Iran without congressional approval. Most Republicans voted to stop the measure. Most Democrats supported it. Pretty much the only Republican who didn't support the measure was Senator Rand Paul. And then Senator John Fetterman for the Democrats was the only Democrat who voted against the resolution. So there you go with that. So that ended up failing. The critics argued that the president launched the strikes without seeking constitutional required authorization from Congress. Supporters say that the strikes were necessary to counter Iran's military and nuclear threats, and the president does have the 48 days of war powers acts that he can use and things like that. So ongoing, really. And you saw it happen in party lines for the most part. And so it's yet another political posturing situation that's going on again. Melania Trump making history. Melania Trump, the United Nations Security Council. Melania. What did I say? Melania? Oh, am I pronouncing the A incorrectly? It could be Melania somewhere else. I mean, it might be. I'm just saying. All right, so she's made history. She is the United Nations Security Council usually features presidents, prime ministers, and ambassadors. But this week, First Lady Trump, how's that sound? First Lady Trump made history by chairing the U.S. Security Council meeting. She became the first ever spouse of a world leader to preside over the UN Security Council. The meeting focused on protecting children's education in conflict zones and the role technology plays in war-torn regions. And so her message at the UN was centered on peace through education. Yeah, so she focused on promoting peace through education and protecting access to learning for children affected by war. She told the council that education and knowledge can help build more tolerant societies and reduce conflict. So, yeah, there you go. Making history, first spouse ever of a world leader to chair the UN Security Council. Kind of cool little story right there. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. Today in history, in 1818, Congress approved the very first pension for government service. That's right. So it was today in history that we started having career politicians. Then in 1850, two guys, Henry Wells and William Fargo, founded a shipping company called American Express. That's right. Henry Wells and William Fargo founded a shipping company called American Express. Then, 2 years later, they organized a coast-to-coast express business and bank, of course, named Wells Fargo. In 1881, the merger of Barnum and Bailey gave us the premiere of The Greatest Show on Earth at New York City's Madison Square Garden. In 1931, Nevada legalized gambling. And 95 years ago, in 1931, that same year, Colonel Jacob Schick, S-C-H-I-C-K, Jacob Schick began selling the first electric razor back in 1931. I didn't realize they were that old, to be honest. Pretty cool. Yeah, I think that's a kind of a neat little story right there. Let's see here. What else we got? Then in, where did my today in history go? Oh, Boston Braves. Today in history, 1953, the Boston Braves announced that they were moving to Milwaukee. Today in 1965 was when the Pillsbury Doughboy was introduced. In 1995 was the day that Michael Jordan announced he was going back to basketball. Today, 29 years ago. Ooh, this will make you feel old. 1997, 29 years ago, Aerosmith released their 12th album, Nine Lives, which included Falling in Love, His Heart on the Knees, and Pink. And then today in history, back in 2003, is when the Iraqi War began. That's your update for today in history for you right here. Then moving back to some geopolitical news, France is making one of the biggest changes to its nuclear strategy in decades. Yeah, they have announced, President Emmanuel Macron has announced that the country will increase its nuclear arsenal for the first time since the early 1990s, and they plan to expand their nuclear role across Europe. He unveiled a new doctrine. He calls it forward deterrence. And under the plan, French nuclear-capable aircraft could be temporarily deployed to allied European countries as part of a joint deterrence effort. And so, of course, as things seem to be ramping up with Russia, Iran, China, all these other things, they feel like it's time for them to go ahead and increase their nuclear capacity. So kind of a little bit of a shocking move happened right there with that as it pertains to that. Where's this one? Okay, yeah. Let me get into this other story here. I want to change the topics. Get away from the geopolitical stuff. So the state of Florida, let me move over to the state of Florida and some stories I have over here. So state of Florida has a College Sports Task Force. This was created through legislation last year. And the purpose of the task force is to basically determine how to make sure the state of Florida's colleges and universities can stay competitive in today's rapidly changing sports environment. So you've got, so basically this task force is going to meet for the first time, and they're going to try to figure out how to like help like Florida State, University of Miami, Central Florida, South Florida, how they can make sure they stay competitive in the new era of college sports. The task force is expected to look at everything from money flowing to athletes to whether new state laws are needed to make sure Florida schools keep from falling behind other states. So, I mean, bottom line, college sports is big business, has been big business. It has been for years. Look at the history of March Madness. Look at college bowl season, things like that, right? But things have changed dramatically with the NIL deals, with athletes being able to get money, and with the transfer portal. So now when it's done that, you have these big surprises like we talked about the other day with Indiana University just skyrocketing up to the front of college football. We'll talk about that more in just a second in this task force, but first let's get traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down on your way in this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. So one of the things here is that with the task force, what they're concerned with is being blindsided, like basically all of the Big Ten was. I mean, the Big Ten has powerhouses, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. You know, these are powerhouse programs, and they got blindsided by Indiana University and how they managed the NIL deals and athlete pay and the transfer portal, all three of it, actually. And so the state of Florida has this task force, and their job is to make sure that the Florida schools don't have a similar blind side, if that makes sense. If they're going to, if anybody's going to take advantage of the transfer portals and the athlete pay and things like that, it should be our Florida schools, not some other schools that will end up getting the advantage and you know, putting us in a bad situation. That's what this whole Florida Sports Task Force is all about. So kind of interesting. Now, when it comes to sports, if you remember about four or five years ago, before the SBC tournament, the Sun Belt Conference tournament, came to the Pensacola Bay Center, there was discussion about even tearing down the Pensacola Bay Center. About what should we do? The Pensacola Bay Center is outdated. We need to update it, or we need to tear it down. And they were talking about tearing it down, possibly turning it into a field house type of place, or turning it into even a parking garage. There was all kinds of different proposals out there. Then they landed the Sun Belt Conference tournament, and it was like, okay, never mind, we're going to stick around. But the building is 40 years old. It does need to be updated. It does need to be modernized. So there's a new proposed redevelopment plan, and includes three parts: renovating the existing arena, building a new event center as part of it, and adding a practice ice rink. The full project could cost $189 million if they build all three. The arena renovations alone is $71 million. And that would include upgrading seating, upgrading the concourses, having better concessions, and having club areas, which is definitely needed for a modern place. The plan also includes a 105,000-square-foot multi-purpose event center designed for conventions, trade shows, sports tournaments, and other events. I think we need that as well. And then the other part was the practice ice rink. That could serve as the practice ice rink for the Pensacola Ice Flyers, but also for youth hockey games and teaching ice skating and things like that. So the project could generate an estimated $60 million an additional economic impact to the region, which I believe so. Pensacola's already growing. We're already becoming a hub for things like the Sun Belt Conference Tournament and other events. We will become more of a hub if we have a nicer facility, a nicer arena, but also a nicer, bigger event center. Then we'll definitely get a lot more stuff coming down here. I have no doubt about it. But we got to build it in order for it to happen, in order to get that extra $60 million. You know what I mean? And that's easier said than done. So one of the things is with it is that there is the county says the county may be able to borrow up to $80 to $90 million to the tourism development tax bonds, but then the rest is going to have to come from either private investors or they'll have to get contributions from city of Pensacola, things like that. So we'll have to see what happens with that. I mean, it's something that obviously needs to get done. How to get it done is a different question altogether. So, all right, it's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. A couple little random facts here for you real quick. Fiat, you know, the vehicle, it's actually an acronym. It stands for Fabbrica Italiana Automobili Torino, which means Italian Automobile Factory in Turin. Well, that's boring. Thought it was going to be something fun. The first vending machine ever was in Egypt in the first century, and it dispensed holy water. In Arizona, it's illegal to feed garbage to pigs without a permit, unless it's your own pig. Then you can feed it garbage all you want, but it has to be your garbage, apparently. It can't be somebody else's household garbage. So, okay, that's weird. And finally, the creator of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air named Carlton after a nerdy college friend of his named Carlton Cuse. Carlton Cuse went on to be one of the guys behind the TV show Lost. So there you go. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620. Coming up here next, I do have, that story about the what happened with the over Ohio yesterday around 8 a.m. in the morning. If you haven't heard this story, I'll share that with you next right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Every once in a while, when I'm talking about Pensacola Hardware, I really have to kind of stop and remind myself that what they have accomplished is amazing. They have been in business 175 years. One of the 50 oldest businesses in the entire country, the oldest in the entire state of Florida. Before there were Levi's jeans, there was Pensacola Hardware. Before the Civil War, there was Pensacola Hardware. They have been helping people understand how to safely fix, how to safely build, how to effectively solve problems, whether you're an individual on your home doing a honeydew or whether you build subdivisions for a living. They're your place. They can save you money. They can give you outstanding advice because of the institutional knowledge of how to do things. They're the living, breathing, walking YouTube, and they understand. They are the commercial construction supply business. They are also a great resource for you if you're like me and you just do things that you need to solve a problem today. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Tickets for the third annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Good morning news with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Let's get traffic on the fives with John Pickens. John.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound, right around Highway 29 exit through that construction zone, expect about a 5-minute delay. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Ohio yesterday, Cleveland, Ohio, there was a mysterious boom heard, not just over Cleveland. They could hear it as far as New York and Pennsylvania. And nope, it wasn't some sort of explosion or a military test. It was a meteor screaming through the Earth's atmosphere at 45,000 miles per hour. It's 6 feet wide, weighed around 6 to 7 tons, streaked across the sky over northern Ohio at 8 a.m. yesterday before breaking apart. The blast created a sonic boom loud enough to rattle homes. And like I said, heard as far away as Pennsylvania, even New York. Scientists say most of the meteor burned up in the atmosphere, but some small fragments may have landed right around Cleveland, Ohio area. So kind of a cool story right there. More than 100 people reported seeing the fireball, according to the American Meteor Society. And they said meteor events like this sound rare, but experts say thousands of small meteorites fall into the Earth every year, mostly burning up before reaching the ground, and most of them happen over our, you know, blue waters that are mostly over the Earth. So very rarely we have them over population centers is the reason why we don't hear about them as much. I saw this bill. There's a bill called the Shark Act, like Shark ED. The name stands for a massive acronym, Supporting the Health of Aquatic Systems Through Research, Knowledge, and Enhanced Dialogue. Okie dokie. Florida Attorney General and U.S. Senate candidate Ashley Moody is supporting the legislation. The proposal would create a federal task force. Okay, so it's not really like a law on Earth. It's just going to create a task force. What does this task force do? It will be scientists and fishery experts, and their goal is to study why shark depredation is increasing. Shark depredation is when a shark takes a fisherman's catch. apparently, in Florida alone, 43% of fishermen report losing fish to a shark. 77% of saltwater anglers in North America say they've had sharks stealing their catch. It affects both recreational fishermen and commerce fishing industry. And so researchers want to study, why are sharks taking fishermen's catch? Why does it seem like it's picking up? And then they can figure out if there's non-lethal deterrence that they can do to try to keep fishing without having sharks come in. What do you mean it's increasing? Yeah, it sounds like, so sharks are figuring out that there's certain areas that humans are fishing where they capture prey. The prey can't get away because they're on a hook or they're in a net or they're on something. And the shark has figured out, oh, the prey can't get away. Whenever the boat comes around, he's going to get a bunch of my prey and they're not going to be able, I don't have to chase them. It sounds like a good deal to me. That's probably why it's increasing. The deterrent is the part that I'm interested in. What are you going to do to deter the shark? You're just going to have a sign on the fish. I'm not a fish. Look the other way.